Yeah, and again, because Aussies are such active dogs, I will tell you that they will make my life an absolute nightmare if they don't get their level of exercise that they need. They want to work. They want to do what they're supposed to do. And again, letting them run around at their own speed instead of being limited by my own speed, but at the same time, to have that level of control, I find it to be a very, very useful tool.
Exactly. And, you know, there are two kind of schools of thought with that. Dogs need to run. They need to have that athletic outlet for them, so to speak. But they also need to be able to walk with you at the same time and be calm and under control and with you leading the walk as opposed to them leading the walk. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've gone out and seen people walking their dogs on a flexi leash and that dog is at the end of the leash, dragging them all over the neighborhood into other people's yards, up to other people's dogs. And you better believe that dog is leading the walk. But if you could get your dog to walk calmly at your side, you could enjoy much longer walks much more frequently. Your dog would be able to get a lot more exercise.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Tanya, when I explain to people about my experiences with these remote collars, a lot of people express to me negative feelings that they may have had where they thought, oh, isn't it cruel to the animal or mean to the animal in any way? And my experience has been that it's probably more humane than, for example, a choke collar, where you tug on a choke collar. I would think that that is more harmful to a dog than just getting these vibrations, which, Rick, you used the perfect analogy, which is it's like when my phone vibrates in my pocket, it tells me, even if I can't hear the ring, at least I know that someone is trying to communicate with me. And so I feel like this is a more humane technology. Can you kind of deal with why people may have a misperception about them? And am I right or wrong? I mean, is it a more humane technique than, like I said, using one of those tug collars where it's almost like you're choking the animal?
All right. Well, people are taught from a very young age to fear electricity, or they've experienced an electric fence, you know, that's used to contain livestock. So that kind of puts a negative feeling on remote collar trainers for many people. However, the static sensation that we're sending to the dog with these remote collars are very adjustable, and it's similar to the static that you would feel after shuffling your feet on some carpet and then touching another piece of furniture or some metal in your house. So does it get your attention? Yes, it does. But is it harmful? No, not at all. And with the levels, you can tune it to just meet what your dog needs. So what you want to do is you want to find a level that's just enough to get your dog's attention, but not enough to cause them to be afraid of it.
So it's kind of like the old trainer adage, the old watch me, where the goal is to get the dog's attention, because that's really the primary goal that you have, is that the dog should stop paying attention to whatever it is.
Exactly.
And pay attention to you.
Right. So we're using the collar merely to cue the dog, not to punish the dog or to correct the dog in any way. It's really just used as a cue to say, hey, pay attention. You know, I'd like you to do something. I'd like you to follow me. Things like that.
And one thing I'll mention is that for the first on the collar you brought, we had a chance to have fun here. And on the first 20 digits out of what? How many total?
There's over 100 levels.
Over 100 levels. On the first 20 levels, humans can't even feel it.
Right. Well, and Tanya, one of the things that you said that I found to be interesting is you had mentioned the physiology of the human being is different than the dog when it comes to its neck. Can you talk a little bit about that so that people might feel a little less apprehensive about whatever technique you're using, whether it is a choke collar or a remote collar, when it comes to the dog's neck itself?
Yeah, right. Anatomically, dogs are built very different from people. Their necks are extremely muscled. They're very strong. It's more similar to your human thigh than to your own neck, which is pretty fragile. Human necks are pretty fragile. But using any of these tools on the dog's neck is a lot safer.
Interesting. Let me ask this question, because one of the issues that comes up sometimes when you're using a remote collar, what is the distance that the signal will travel? I mean, I know that there are limitations to how far the animal can be away from the remote before it will no longer work. Typically, what is the distances that you need to be within for them to work effectively?
Mm-hmm. It all depends on the model collar, the brand, the model that you choose. There are some collars that have a pretty short range. So if you're just doing some yard work, you know, just around the house, things like that. But there are collars that have a range of up to 1 mile.
Wow. So if you've got some acreage and you want your animal to be able to run around outside and yet still get them in, you really do have to give that some consideration.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you always should have your dog within visual sight. You know, if it's out of your visual sight, then you don't know what's going on. You don't know if it's safe. So probably it's not going to be out beyond a mile.
Right. And in terms of adding dogs to it, do you need a separate transmitter for each particular collar? Or are there some manufacturers that make them to where you can have multiple dog collars attached to a single transmitter?
Yes, there are manufacturers that make remote collars where you can control two different dogs with one remote, which makes it very handy that you don't have to juggle two different handheld transmitters. However, if you're going to be out, you know, if your spouse wants to take one dog somewhere and you want to take another dog somewhere, that's something that I like to discuss with my clients beforehand so that they can choose, you know, maybe I would want two separate units, or maybe it would be more convenient for me to just have one.
And we've mentioned this several times on the show, where you need to be the alpha character in the relationship between you and your dog. And this is just another tool that allows you to do that.
Yeah. What's nice about this also is that the remote collar helps to act as an equalizer, because many people are just mismatched with their dogs. They may have a very big, strong dog, but they themselves might not be physically strong and capable of controlling that dog on a leash. So what's great is that anybody can take this tool and start to train their dog and be in control of their dog, or even your kids. You know, if the kids are the right age and responsible enough, then they can even take the dog out for walks and still have control over that dog.
Right. And as people decide that they want to utilize bark parks and other things like that, it is a great way to stay responsible with your animal and, again, keep that control. Tanya, I want to thank you so much for coming in and having this conversation. We've been talking this morning with Tanya Johnson, certified professional dog trainer from Joey's Pet Outfitter in Williamston. Thanks again for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Rick, in the next segment, we've got a best-selling author coming in who's going to share with us a story of inspiration and a story of how a dog literally made a difference in helping him stay positive and write a best-selling positive book here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I must admit, I can't explain any of these.